Welcome to our end of the mid-year marathon celebration. Thank you all for your efforts. And may Lord Chaitanya bless our little efforts that they may increase. It's amazing how we have not at all seen the tiniest bit of the full effect of chanting Hare Krishna. We have not seen the tiniest impact from real chanting of Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas Thakur, how it will be that all living entities will be delivered, not just the human beings. This is Lord Chaitanya's vision. Of course, Srila Prabhupada told us, if we can just deal with the two-legged animals, we're doing pretty good. But Lord Chaitanya is considering all living entities. Two-legged, four-legged, centipede, what is that, six? 100. Ghosts, one-legged. All can be delivered by the loud chanting of the holy name. And Haridas Thakur pointed out that after the holy name is chanted loudly, you hear an echo reverberating. That is the sound of the other living entities chanting. But we think it's an echo. We're going to hear from chapter 9 of Adi Lila. Bhakti Kalpa Taru, the desire tree of devotional service. And Kaviraj Goswami has constructed an allegory, a metaphorical device to convey the impact of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna's pastimes are infinitely attractive. But in this age of Kali, it is very difficult to enter into Radha Krishna Leela. Very difficult means that no humble devotee would consider to do such directly. In this dense darkness of the age of Kali, you worship Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha Krishna combined. The more you understand that secret, the more your spiritual life becomes dynamic. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna combined. In this beautiful allegory, you're going to find out the real wealth, the fruits of the tree. The desire tree of devotional service. Think about that. Devotional service involves desires. And as we pointed out so many times, devotional desires are the stuff of what happens when you associate with enthusiastic devotees. The desires in the heart start to pound, thud in your heart. So the more you associate with enthusiastic devotees, the more your desire to your devotional service shoots up. That association makes the soil fertile. And when you don't properly fertilize the soil, the plant, the tree, withers. This seed of the Bhakti Kalpa Taru is Sri Madhavendra Puri. He's the seed of ecstatic love of Krishna. In him, bhakti moved away from just a bit of too much emphasis on rituals. And in him, the seed of ecstatic separation from Krishna. That seed sprouted and became also the seed of Ishwar Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya, in accepting a spiritual master, is showing that A devotee always considers himself in need of guidance. So even the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes that position as a devotee. Guidance, discipline, even chastisement, as you know. Lord Chaitanya said, Guru More Murkadeki Karido Shasam. My spiritual master called me a fool. It's chant Hare Krishna. Of course, in this age of Kali, the false egos are so great. Probably your spiritual master can't say you're a fool, but he probably says, maybe what you did was lacking a little intelligence. But Lord Chaitanya's demonstration is that no one considers themselves to be so advanced that they cannot take guidance. Even Lord Chaitanya, he's showing that. The devotee is always in a needy position. There's nothing wrong with that. The devotee who knows how to be needy in relation to Guru and Krishna is actually the self-sufficient devotee. Self-sufficiency is defined in a different way in bhakti. The more you lean on Krishna, the more you lean on Krishna's devotees, the more self-sufficient you are. And the more you think that you're independent and you've got it all together, actually, the more dependent you are. You're dependent on the witch of the illusory energy. And that witch is always alluring you to come to a nice gingerbread house. And then as you get older and older, you realize, where's the gingerbread house? What happened? The sugar just gives you cavities and diabetes and metaphorically speaking. That sugar in the material world is the most dangerous thing. So you may wonder, how are you ever going to get your spiritual life together so that it's actually significant? Of course, we must learn what is significant in Krishna's eyes. Any sincere effort, Krishna never forgets. One sincere step forward in bhakti. One sincere step out of your comfort zone. Does going out of your comfort zone mean torturing yourself? Sleeping on a bed of nails? What does going out of your comfort zone in bhakti mean? It means making a sacrifice based on love, or you want to love. Therefore, you do something. Make a special effort for Krishna. We don't consider that we have love for Krishna, but we consider that we want to have love for Krishna. If you look at the first verse of this chapter, what will we find? Before we look at the first verse, let us chant the invocation. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Text 1 of Chapter 9, Adi Lila. Tam Srimat Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Gurum Yasyan Kampaya Swapi Mahabdhim Santarit Sukam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual master of the entire world, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a dog can swim across a great ocean. So this introductory shloka verse introduces you to the inconceivable mercy of Lord Chaitanya and gives you a practical example How far can dogs swim? You may have seen a dog jump into the water at the beach and swims a bit and then comes right back. How can a dog swim the whole ocean? Similarly, how can the dogs of Kali Yuga, the human beings, the fortunate dogs who take to Krishna consciousness, how can they swim the ocean, across the ocean of repeated birth and death, Bhava Sindhu? How can they do that? Swim across the ocean of becoming and unbecoming and get to the other side. That can be done only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It can happen, though, to whomever makes a sincere, whoever makes a sincere effort. Effort is what it's all about. The comfort zone means you're not loving enough or trying to love enough. As we said, a devotee never considers, I have love for Krishna. We just want to love making an effort to love Krishna. That's enough to attract Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Just like when the Yajnapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas in Krishna Leela, they were trying to convince Krishna, let us stay with you. Because Krishna was saying in so many words that, look, you know, you're wives of Brahmanas, I'm a cowherd boy. How can you stay in the forest with a Vaishya, a cowherd boy? You're high-class Brahmana ladies, you're married. What will people say? And the Yajnapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, they well, look, we already left all that caste stuff behind. Otherwise, what are we doing in the forest here with you? Krishna wanted them to go back. And they pleaded with Krishna. The acharyas say they were crying, squeezing Krishna's feet. Oh, we stay, we want to stay. And then they made their proposition. Look, okay, it may not be good for us to go back to the village with you, Krishna, but we'll live here in the forest and we'll just wait and watch for the tulsi leaves that fall from your feet. We'll watch for the dust from the feet of your beloved cowherd girlfriends. And we'll just put that on our head. That'll be enough. Because Krishna, he's Gopijana Balabha. He's the dearest of the cowherd girls. So the Brahmanas ladies realize, okay, we know you belong to the cowherd girls. That's all right. If we can just get the tulsi leaf falling from your feet, the dust from the feet of your beloved devotees, that'll be enough. When they first met Krishna in the forest, after Krishna sent the cowherd boys to go to them because their husbands had just completely blown the situation. This chapter is a great feminist chapter. So all the New Zealand Matajis, you can really meditate on this chapter. Shows female superiority. How the men just totally blew the whole situation. The cowherd boys, they went to the ladies because the men wouldn't even give them an answer, wouldn't even reply when they asked for food for Krishna and Balaram. The men were so focused on going to the heavenly planets, performing punya, pious activity, making that yajna just perfect. Even the cowherd boys told them, look, we know that right at this point of the yajna, it is possible to distribute food. We know that. How do we know it? Well, we hang out with Krishna and Balaram. We know everything. The Brahmanas wouldn't even answer. They went back, reported to Krishna. These Brahmanas, they didn't even honor us with a reply. They didn't even say no. Krishna just laughed. Why are you getting upset about these silly Brahmanas wrapped up in ritualistic activities? And anyway, that's the way of Sankirtan, Yajna. Sometimes people take, sometimes they don't take. Sometimes they give, sometimes they don't give. Of course, how would you feel if you came back from book distribution and told Krishna, oh, no one took any books? And Krishna just laughed. You'd probably get very angry. I'm sacrificing so much, big me. My valuable time, my valuable life. We take ourselves so seriously, don't we? We're all so great. It's amazing how great we are in Kali Yuga. Who are we to sacrifice our energies? So, getting out of your comfort zone means simply trying to be the humble servant of Lord Chaitanya. You may be successful, you may not be successful. Krishna doesn't care. So the cowherd boys were not successful. Krishna didn't care. All right, go to their wives. Their wives are always thinking about me. Cowherd boys went to the wives who were in their homes, nicely decorated, chaste ladies. Therefore, the cowherd boys bowed down to them, made their obeisances because these were chaste, very first-class Brahmana wives. Krishna had told them, don't mention that I'm hungry. If you tell them that Krishna, that Balaram and I are hungry, it'll put them in, that knowledge will put them in such pain. Don't say it. Don't say it. So the cowherd boys, though, they're boys, young boys, so, you know, they like to stir things up. So they offered their obeisances, and then they made a presentation to the ladies that we've come sent by Krishna and Balaram. That was enough. Just hearing the holy name, the ladies fainted. Just hearing the holy names Krishna and Balaram. That's how Krishna conscious they are. The cowherd boys decided to stoke the fire a bit. Get the blaze of that bhakti kalpa turu, just make it higher. Not only have we been sent by Krishna and Balaram, but they're nearby. Oh, that just magnified even more the almost samadhi of these ladies. They had fainted, just Krishna Balaram, nearby. Just went deeper and deeper into trance. And then the cowherd boys, even though Krishna told them don't do it, they decided we're going to do it. We're going to drop the bomb, the love bomb. We've been sent by Krishna Balaram, number one. Number two, Krishna and Balaram are nearby. Number three, they're hungry. Oh, the ladies condemned themselves. Acharya say the ladies were thinking, how can we stay in samadhi when Krishna and Balaram are hungry? How can we just... We've got to get out of samadhi quickly. We've got to get out of this trance of ecstasy. Krishna and Balaram are hungry. Did you hear that? Perhaps you can remember sometimes when you're asleep, an alarm goes off and you want to get up. You want to get up. You're just trying to shake the sleep up. So they were literally trying to shake themselves out of samadhi when they heard that Krishna and Balaram are hungry. What's the use of this samadhi? Krishna and Balaram are hungry. So they grabbed pots of foodstuffs and they ran to meet Krishna and Balaram. Naturally, their fathers, brothers, and sons tried to stop them. Because, you know, in Vedic culture, ladies just don't run out into the forest with the food and leave their families. But they did it. They didn't care for any restraints. They didn't care for any cultural inhibitions, prohibitions. They ran into the forest. And they found Krishna strolling on the bank of the Jamuna River. And there they saw him. Yellow robes. Body decorated with forest minerals. Top knot in his hair holding a peacock feather. A forest lily behind each ear. Long garland down to the ground. They saw Krishna. He had one hand on the shoulder of a friend, and in the other hand, he was twirling a lotus flower. Everything Krishna does has meaning in love. So his twirling the lotus flower meant, I know that your hearts are just twirling out of love for me. Also, the acharyas say Krishna's twirling the lotus flower also meant, my heart is throbbing for you. My heart is twirling for you. That is God. Not some impersonal force. Not just some majestic emperor, but the supreme lover. Otherwise, how can he be the supreme enjoyer if he's not the supreme lover? So, then the wise of the brahmanas gave a classic lesson in meditation. They demonstrated how to be the topmost yogi. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yogi nama visarvesha madgate nantaratma shuddha avamajateyumam samayuttatamo mataha. The topmost yogi is the one who's always thinking of me. His mind is fixed on me. In transcendental loving service. So, they stared at Krishna because, you see, first of all, they had heard so much about Krishna. Can I have my sweater, please? My jumper. It's on the somewhere over there. Who did they hear about Krishna from? They heard about Krishna from the fruit sellers and flower sellers who would go to Vrindavan and sell in the village. Because the brahmanas and their wives, they didn't live in Vrindavan. They didn't live in the village where Krishna lived. But they heard from the sellers, the walas. And just by hearing, they were already in ecstatic love of Krishna. Just by hearing. Hearing is seeing. In bhakti, hearing is believing. Not just seeing. You have so many other senses. Why? Just seeing is believing. The Yajnapatnis show that hearing is believing. Hearing is experiencing. Because they had already heard through the ear perfectly. They were ready. Their minds were ready. And when they saw Krishna, but actually they're seeing Krishna by hearing. Still, there's variegatedness in the bhakti experience. Even though hearing is seeing, still, seeing is seeing. So I know it's hard to understand. So, they took Krishna in through their eyes and then brought him into their heart, and there they embraced him, and Krishna returned the embrace. This is how intense Krishna consciousness is. Krishna is the master of intensity. You think you've known some intense persons. They're just a drop compared to the ocean of Krishna intensity. So, that's how they resonated with Krishna. Krishna wanted them to return after, of course, they put the food down. Krishna, in this case, wanted them to return, and really wanted them to return. You know, the gopis, when they came out in the middle of the night, Krishna told them to return, but they never went back. But Krishna wanted the Yajnapatnis to go back because in their particular case, Krishna knew it would heighten their love even more if they went back home. They would feel separation from him. And also Krishna was thinking, it's proper decorum. They're brahmanas' wives, after all. I'm just a cowherd boy. But most importantly, it would make for more ecstatic love for them. And he told them, love for me is not developed by physical proximity. Love for me is developed by chanting, hearing my glories, worshiping the deity, our whole process of bhakti. Krishna told them, that's how to do it. So they did go home. By Krishna's mercy, they were at the pinnacle of ecstatic love for him just by hearing. Even though they were, you could say, how is it sometimes said? They're just Matajis. Their husbands were wondering that afterwards when they realized they had blown it. They're just Matajis. They're just ladies. They never have done any austerities. They haven't studied the Vedas. They don't know anything about complicated rituals. Yet they have attained the pinnacle of the Vedas. Krishna is the goal of the Vedas. Vedaishta Sarva Amibhaveja. Krishna says in the Gita, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. They're knowing Krishna, and we, the masters of rituals in the Vedas, we've blown the situation completely. The brahmanas began to curse themselves. The hell with our Vedic knowledge, the hell with our ritualistic knowledge, the hell with our birth as brahmanas, the hell with it all. What's the use? It's got nothing to do with Krishna. We didn't serve Krishna. Service to Krishna is the everything. Remember how these yajnapatnis, the wives of these sacrificial brahmanas, just jumped at the opportunity to do service. They could have offered so many excuses. We're just Matajis. Or, we have husbands and children and this and that, and we're supposed to assist our husbands in Vedic rituals. But no, they were already at the conclusion of the Vedas. Lord Chaitanya wants to give us that kind of cutting edge in which we jump at an opportunity to serve Krishna. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even a dog can swim across a great ocean. We want to experience that kind of empowerment. The world is in need now of that kind of empowerment. By talking about it, we attract Krishna's attention. Krishna's looking. Who will take the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's mercy? Yes, talking about it does a lot of good. It builds desire in the heart. Krishna's listening. Oh, well, at least they're talking about it. Action begins by talking about it. Makes it easier to actually do it. Now this Bhakti Kalpataru, the tree of ecstatic bhakti, desire tree of devotional service, we describe how it began from a seed, Madhavendra Puri, his ecstatic love and separation from Krishna. And that seed came again as Ishwar Puri, Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. And then the seed developed into a full tree, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Lord Chaitanya is presenting himself through Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami as not only the tree, but also the gardener and the branches, as well as the distributor of the fruits and the enjoyer of the fruits. The taste of those fruits is indescribable. It can intoxicate the whole world. The branches of that tree cover the entire world. So now the Krishna conscious movement has spread all over the world, even above the Arctic Circle. What is the taste of the fruit of that tree? You should be wondering. That taste is the ecstatic love of Krishna, which can be yours just by chanting and dancing in ecstasy. We want to chant and dance with confidence. It's amazing how subconsciously even we as devotees can think, it can't be that simple, just chanting Hare Krishna. It can't be that simple. You catch yourself thinking like that sometimes? It's got to be more. It's got to be something more complicated. Just chanting Hare Krishna. Even a little kid can do that. Hare Krishna and Rama. Subconsciously, we think like that. Nah. We've got to make it more complicated. But the fact is, Lord Chaitanya is giving that inconceivable mercy to the chanters of the Hare Krishna mantra. Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya is distributing the fruits of that tree without asking any price. And all the wealth in all the three worlds, upper, lower, middle planetary systems, cannot equal the taste of just one fruit. This is what you're dealing with. Now, how did Lord Chaitanya distribute the fruit of devotional service? He did not discriminate who is fit or unfit. And we, as servants of Lord Chaitanya, must follow in his footsteps. We distribute, we cultivate, we preach, we teach without restriction. That's always the nature of Lord Chaitanya's movement. It's quite exuberant. It's quite humbly, devotionally boisterous. There's always action, dynamics. That comes from Lord Chaitanya, who just distributed fruits without discrimination. Without discrimination doesn't mean you don't use your intelligence. But there's always that element of just dynamism, just exuberance, just no barriers about the flood of love of Krishna. When you start to get too stodgy and too boxed in by your own mind, then you have to start to wonder, you know, where is Lord Chaitanya? Well, you can't do this, you can't do that. And, well, there's this situation, then there's that situation, and therefore there's this stipulation and that condition and that reservation, and on it goes. Before you know it, you've lost all your life. You've boxed yourself in by your mind. Whereas Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is just always like a exuberantly flowing river. Sometimes the river stays in its riverbed. Sometimes it overfloods the banks. It's just going. So that element is always going to be there. If it's not there, then we have to wonder, what's happened? We become so mechanical and so stodgy that we can't get out the door and do something about the suffering world situation. So therefore, there's always going to be, in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, there's always going to be that feeling of like a very fast bubbling stream. You know, when you're walking through the forest and you come upon a stream that's got life to it, from a distance you can hear the bubbling and gurgling of the water. Sounds very nice. You come to it and it's very refreshing to see. So after a rainstorm especially, the stream is bubbling and gurgling and rushing forward. That's how Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement is. Because Lord Chaitanya himself distributed without any restrictions. So therefore Prabhupada in the purport advises that the preachers of the Sankirtan movement must go on preaching without restriction. That doesn't mean lose your head and do dumb things. It means just there's always this, let's go. It can be done because we're the humble servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's already flooded the whole world. So you just watch. Without that kind of mood, then everything becomes stale and lifeless. Next, Kaviraj Goswami says, When the poor hungry people ate the fruit, the gardener smiled with great pleasure. This is our happiness, to see the poor starving people devoid of Krishna consciousness. When they taste the fruits of love of Krishna, then as assistants of the gardener, we smile very happily. Ah, oh. You know, there's nothing so joyful than to see someone smacking their lips after having tasted a fruit of love of Krishna. That's what keeps the cultivators, distributors, preachers, teachers, whatever word you want to use, that's what keeps them going on. They see the people smacking their lips. Just love to see it. Isn't it so sometimes you're distributing books and you see the person enthusiastically take the book and you just start going over in your mind, oh, I know how they're going to feel when they read this and they turn the page and they read that. Oh. And sometimes you open the book and you show them a part of the book and then you find yourself saying, hey, this actually sounds pretty good. Has that ever happened? Yeah? Wow, if I don't say so myself, this is really interesting. That's the special nectar of doing Lord Chaitanya's work. He gives the best salary, the best payoff. Bhakti always looks fresh to you. The holy name always tastes fresh. Lord Chaitanya says a very interesting thing. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? So Srila Prabhupada in the Purport points out, this is Lord Chaitanya's saying in so many words, everyone should assist me in this task. That's our chance. It's not that Lord Chaitanya is incompetent, insufficient, or limited in potency, but no, he's giving a chance to his servitors to assist him. I'm the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? He's saying, come on, come on. Here's how you can go back to Godhead so easily, just by assisting me. He's indicating the distribution of the holy name, the glories of Krishna, is done by a combined effort. As Prabhupada writes, this indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without consideration of the time, place, or situation. So again, there's always that exuberance of a dynamically rushing stream right after a rainstorm. There's always going to be that kind of joyful, almost, we could say, humbly boisterous dynamism, jovial dynamism. Always looking for any opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. Any opportunity. You may notice around here we don't get on the mental, whether it's direct or indirect preaching. We do both. Whatever, just get going. This way, that way. We'll sort it out later. Let it fly. We'll figure out after. You know, after things start happening, then we'll sort things out. No need to just spend time pulling your hairs. Oh, what, is this the best way? Is that the best way? Endlessly deliberating on the mental platform. Just get out and do something. Based on compassion or just the desire to want to have compassion, and Krishna will give you the intelligence. Because the world's in a desperate situation. Unless the followers of Lord Chaitanya go out, what will happen? Where are the people going to get the knowledge they need? Lord Chaitanya goes on. It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone. And still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore, I order every man, that means women too, within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. You might say, who, me? Then you can come up with all the excuses. You see, I'm just a, or ladies can say, I'm just a Mataji. The man can say, well, I'm just a spaced out brahmachari, you know, I just joined, and I'm a householder, I have so many responsibilities, you know. Or I don't know what I am, a brahmachari or a householder, but you know, that's another reason why I can't do anything, because I don't even know what I am. On and on and on it goes. And Lord Chaitanya is giving us that order. First, he's presenting himself as helpless. I can't do this alone. So many fruits. How will everyone get their share? Therefore, I order everyone in this universe to accept the Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. And then Lord Chaitanya considers that how many fruits can I myself eat? I can't eat all these fruits alone. Of course Krishna can do anything. But Lord Chaitanya is just giving us Sankirtan, congregational participation. Everyone. Many hands make light work. That's why we have our team approach to Sankirtan, in which everyone pitches in and makes an effort. Distributing the books is not just the job of the so-called big guns, the powerful individual distributors. No. Powerful means you make the best effort you can. What is the taste of that fruit? Remember, Lord Chaitanya's original reasons for coming were to understand Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna and to taste that love. That's actually the taste of the fruit. So how can the most fallen in Kali Yuga taste that reason why Lord Chaitanya came? Through the fruits. By helping Lord Chaitanya distribute those fruits, you get that taste. You'll understand Radha Krishna Leela. You'll taste that Radha Krishna Leela because that taste is in the fruits. That's how Lord Chaitanya has packaged everything. You want to understand what is the topmost praying, the topmost love? That taste is in the fruits. Help me distribute them. And you'll get that taste. There are innumerable fruits. There's no shortage. Lord Chaitanya wants everyone to taste. Let's think about Lord Chaitanya's desire. Kaviraj Goswami writes that by the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. He's telling you Krishna's unlimited. There's no shortage in this world. If you water the tree at the root, if you please Krishna, Prabhupada writes in the purport that if people in this world would eat 10 times as much as they're eating now, still Krishna can easily provide enough food. There'll be no economic problems. The problems are there because of greed. And you're seeing now that even some people are understanding the problems are all due to greed. They can't stop it. You're dealing with the three E's these days, the problem caused by the three E's: energy, economics, and environment. They can't do anything about it. They can't get themselves together to do anything about it. They have big G8 meetings of the most prosperous countries in the world. They can't agree. Even one survey from the USA revealed that 47% of the people there don't think there's a global warming climate change problem. They think that scientists are still not sure about it, and it's a controversy, scientific controversy. Whereas you take the same poll among scientists, 80% of them say that human beings are causing environmental problems. 70% of them say it's a very serious problem. But then less than half the people think that they are the cause of climate change and global warming problems. Even though the problems are kicking them in the face, they can't see. They talk about greed, materialism, greedy bankers, greedy property investors. But they can't do anything about it. They have no lifestyle for how to be non-greedy. No one knows how to live in a non-greedy way. Lord Chaitanya says, distribute this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. That's the greatest contribution. What is the problem? That people don't take this Hare Krishna movement seriously enough. And we don't even take it seriously enough. That's why we need constant chanting, constant kirtan, constant hearing about Krishna, so that we'll take seriously the great jewel we have. Otherwise, we'll be like little kids. You put a diamond in the hand of a little kid, the kid just throws it away or tries to swallow it or something. Let us not think we are so great. We need constant hearing about Krishna, constant chanting and dancing. Because Maya is there constantly, trying to disrupt your tasting of the fruits of love of Krishna. We are not against economic development, but there's a proper way to have economic development. Economic development based on dharma, on religious principles. People have no idea of that. They think, oh, you chant Hare Krishna, you take over Krishna consciousness, what will happen to your economics? Economics are there. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, religious principles, economic development, sense gratification is also there. Moksha, liberation. All that's part of Vedic civilization. But it's done in a civilized way. Everything is backed by dharma. Even the kama, the sense gratification, is backed by dharma. And of course, those who want the conclusion of the Vedas, in other words, we just don't want Vedic civilization, we want the conclusion of Vedic civilization. That means Krishna civilization. Those who want the conclusion, they want the fifth goal of life, Premapamartha Mahan, love of Krishna. That's beyond dharma, artha, kama, moksha, religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. You can take the elevator right to the top in your short human life. The more you taste those fruits that Lord Chaitanya is distributing, the more you become intoxicated and you lose your appetite for even conventional Vedic civilization. You appreciate its value, how it provides a foundation, but you take the fruits immediately and taste those fruits. Taste the fruits of love of Krishna. We have so much work to do. Our efforts are so small and tiny. We are chanting Hare Krishna. What is the limitation? limitation is we ourselves. We don't take seriously enough Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. We don't take the chanting of Hare Krishna seriously enough. We have so many preoccupations rather than just be an instrument in the hands of Lord Chaitanya. This short life. So Lord Chaitanya is giving everyone a chance with this Bhakti Kalpataru, the desire tree of devotional service. Think about how you can get your share of the fruits and more. This is the time to be greedy. This is the opportunity to be greedy. You cannot repress greed. You have to know what to be greedy for. How to be avaricious. First, you associate with devotees who are avaricious, who are greedy for Krishna, and you'll also develop that. Remember, what is the taste of that fruit? The taste is Radha Krishna's pastimes. Lord Chaitanya came to understand them and to taste them, especially from the viewpoint and position of Srimati Radharani. So now you hopefully see how everything is all connected. Narottam Das Thakur sings, Manusha Janam Apaya Radha Krishna Nabhajiya. I've wasted my human form of life. What a tragedy. I did not worship Radha and Krishna. So how are you all worshiping Radha and Krishna? By tasting and distributing the fruits of Lord Chaitanya's tree. Lord Chaitanya is the gardener. He's the tree. He's the distributor and enjoyer of the fruits. That taste of the fruits is Radha Krishna Leela. You approach Radha and Krishna in that way in this age of Kali, you're sure to be successful.